support for Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer is provided by Nashville's Big Backyard, a nonprofit economic initiative focused on rural destinations along the fabled Natchez National Parkway.
Brett Unkfer. I own Clover and Zahn in Bailey's Harbor in beautiful Door County, Wisconsin.
And exactly what is the business? What do you do?
We have a little restaurant here. It's right on Lake Michigan, the third coast of our country. Mm-hmm. It's absolutely fantastic. We specialize in Belgian beers, European cuisine. Just kind of makes you come back to what we might have known for some of our older friends, me included, back to what we kind of grew up with.
We're in the middle of the winter right now. Mm-hmm. This is not your hot tourism season. It would be very different in July or August. Mm-hmm. So it goes without saying that you have to rely on the local residents to survive here in the middle of the winter. True?
Absolutely. The reality is, that's why I stay open. Mm-hmm. It's always about everyone that lives here first, and then it's about tourists.
From a pure financial numbers basis, it might make more sense for you to shutter for a couple months, right?
Oh, 100%.
But that doesn't stop you.
Yep, it doesn't, because it's always about local and in my employees and everything first. It has to be, because the reality of life is the locals are the ones that actually tell the tourists where they should.
Right.
So it's always that appreciation, you know. It's a give and take, and I always make sure that I'm there for them and vice versa.
And it goes without saying again, the locals probably tell you how to navigate and modify and fine-tune the cuisine that you offer, right? Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. It's not just the cuisine and wine and beer and everything, but it's also very much the hours that I keep in the winter. Mm-hmm. I just, even this evening, had really good customer. Like, but if you could only be open on another night, but it doesn't always work.
Right.
But I try to do as much as I possibly can.
And this is not your first iteration here, right?
No, it's not. I do have a few other restaurants. Some really good Wild Tomato, wood-fired pizzas. I have a coffee shop also.
And didn't you have a beer house?
Yeah. Oh, so originally, where we're at now is a new Bierzot. So originally, I had a restaurant called Bierzot in Sister Bay. Belgian beer bar.
Is that gone now or still
It
there?
Is gone now. It got too busy. So I selfishly closed it because it was my favorite place to go to as well.
Right.
And it was...
You couldn't get into your own place.
Oh, and you have to be, right? I mean, I think that that's one of the most important things, that if you don't like where you're working and actually being a patron there, obviously it doesn't work. And it just got too busy. That wasn't the point of it. That's why I opened Clover and Zahn. And we call Bailey's Harbor the quiet side. Uh-huh. And that's why I opened it here. And I had a lot of people give me guff about it. You know, we wanted it in Sister Bay, but they still come down. And I think the most important part is that we keep it not about the tourists and making money and this and that. It's about my guests.
Your
and
community, really,
it
right?
It is 100% about that. And that's what makes it fun. And they'll bring in their friends and they'll bring in everyone else and we'll do just fine. You know, it's like I said, it's not about that. It's about us enjoying all of us around each other.
With your cuisine, with your offering, with your menu, being so sensitized and plugged into the local community, mm-hmm. how quickly and rapidly and how often does your menu modify and change?
So we change it really 4 to 5 times a year. We keep our classics that everyone loves on.
Is there a signature dish here? First thing people think of?
Honestly, one of them is it's these fried artichoke hearts. Mm-hmm. their curried batter served with a cilantro chutney and another dipping sauce. A little bit different. It's more of a Turkish, you know. A lot of times we don't think of that area as being European, but it is. And that's probably one of the biggest ones that everyone just was asking for when I closed Birzot and reopened. One of the neatest things we do here is that everything's gluten-free or can be. So our fryer, gluten-free. Everything is. Like our crepes, gluten-free. You know, we do some Neapolitan-style pizzas. Those obviously aren't. But we do things that people can't go to another restaurant and get. Almost everyone is just shocked when they can get calamari again. You know, fried calamari. And they're like, I can get it. I have a gluten intolerance. And we're like, no, you come here. Our fryer is complete. And so we've made it happen. And that's been a very succinct thing that we've done with the other restaurant to this that we've kept. And it's awesome.
That's really cool. Let's rewind in your life for a moment.
Mm-hmm.
How did it start out for you, this journey?
So my parents owned a restaurant and bar in York County called Nelson's Hall. And it's very famously known for drinking shots of Angostura bitters during Prohibition.
Well, that was medicinal, right?
Yeah, it was back then. And it's 90 proof, just so happens. So that's what I grew up doing. And my parents constantly tell me that the success that I've had at my restaurants is all based on my Nelson's Hall training, which I 100% agree.
That's funny.
But I also went, I worked for Wolfgang Puck.
Oh, you did? Where?
Yeah, at Post Rio. It was only, back then, his third restaurant.
I remember that was in that hotel.
Yeah.
What was his name?
It was one
Bill
of the Kempton
Hotels.
Yep.
Bill Kempton changed the model of hotelier world in America with Post Rio.
Right.
Because central to his philosophy, there will be an on-site killer restaurant.
That's exactly it.
Major game changer.
Yep. I was his head baker at his third restaurant and helped open up Spalco Las Vegas and his first Wolfgang Puck Cafe and stuff. So that was kind of my start after culinary school.
Where did you go to culinary school?
New England Culinary Institute.
So rivals with CIA,
it
right?
does. Yeah. You know, and we have that very strong rivalry. And then I went to school in Switzerland as well for cooking.
Okay.
I was very much trained in French cuisine.
Were you in a stage there?
No, this one was full-on. It was
a real job.
It was. It was fun. I mean, at a very... he was a Swiss-German chef.
Demanding.
Very demanding and loved to yell a lot.
They like to throw things, too.
Yeah, they do. And I think the lovely thing about Switzerland is how they try to utilize everything that's within their country first, and then they'll import.
And this is going way back. This is
it was a good trend, 30
right?
years ago now. So, which is scary to say. But I think one of the neatest things, in potatoes are the one that always is my standout. Switzerland only imports potatoes 1 month out of the year.
Wow.
And what they have done is they just have train themselves that they don't use the same potato all the time. It's an ever-changing thing. And I think that's one of the most special things about European cuisine is that they have always adapted themselves to what's there. I mean, in European wine, European beer, Saison is one of the most, it's the best example of a beer that was brewed for a reason, and that was for farmers, and it couldn't be too high a proof. It was for thirst quenching, and because you couldn't drink water safely. And we in this country take so much of that for granted, and we don't know why things were John.
But that explains today why a European style wine is a lower alcohol.
Yep. It right? is. It's 100%.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Interesting.
Yeah. So that's what I love about what we're doing here at Clover and Zant is that it's just bringing it back. People might know it, but a lot of people ask, you know, and you try to teach and obviously just let them enjoy it, whatever the reason.
Explain the backstory of the name of the restaurant.
Okay. So Clover, the building, was originally called the Clover Farm Store. And it was a grocery store that started around 1890. And it was a small chain along the lakeshore of Michigan. And really, really neat. Like, just what you would expect, you know. Everything was done in-house, including meats and everything on the lake. And we found a lot of little historic treasures when we were remodeling the restaurant.
What was the most memorable, cool one?
Well, there's two of them. So what I would say, one is a little interesting. It's a hook on the beach, which is where they would take the animals down to and take care of business.
Yeah.
You know, and it just went out in the lake because there was no running water here. And it just, I think, kind of goes to show the history of this county and how old it is. I don't think many people remember that Door County was one of the first areas in the Midwest and Wisconsin especially that were explored by the French and things like that.
You're talking about the 1600s, yeah, way back.
Yeah, so I just think it's really neat that we see that history. And on the beach too, looking down, I got married on the beach. So as we were down there, I'm like, there's bottles about 4 feet down.
Wow.
And we picked some out, and they're full. Cap on, and it was alcohol. Obviously didn't drink it, but it really, really cool to see that history. That just
was that from bootlegger era?
Kind of. It probably was,
yeah.
You know, and dealing, growing up with Nelson's Hall, we saw the same thing up there. So I knew right away what it was all about. It's just such a neat area.
The second half of the name of your restaurant.
So Zant comes from beer Zant, and Zant means, we'll call it the nicer one, it's fool or idiot. And so beer Zant came from beer idiot or beer fool, because I'm that guy. Like, I love beer, it's fun, and so much to do about it. So we just kind of wanted to keep the history of the building. That was the most important part, but bring the fun of what we're doing, and that's where the name came from. And it's fun, and just, we did a 12-month remodel of the building to bring it back to what it was.
So it was a gut job structure.
It was a gut job. We left the floor and the ceiling, though, because that's the character.
Mm-hmm.
So when you walk through the building, you just really see the character of the building on the floor. It's a blast. Like, it's a patchwork.
And you can feel the past.
You can. You absolutely can.
Okay, one more before we go. Another signature dish that you would not dare take off the menu.
I would say it's very simple. I mean, obviously the cassoulet is one that everyone asks me, but we do this really, really simple salad. Burrata, arugula, and prosciutto. And the burrata is made in Denmark, Wisconsin. You have to clarify. By Belgioso, and the family has a house up here. They live up here, and they're part of our community. And I love that everyone has always asked for that salad back, and knowing that it's that cheese making history of the state that has made it part of who we are now.
So a riot if you took it off the menu.
Oh, it's never going to happen. Never going to happen.
To learn more about your world here.
Mm-hmm. So we're in Door County, Wisconsin. I have several restaurants, but this one is Clover and Zant. You can easily find us on the web, but you just need to visit Door County. because not just what we do is special, it's everyone up here has a true desire for all of you to come up and learn the history of who we are up here. And my name is Britt Unkefer, and just come up and visit us. You'll love it.
Britt, thank you so much for the time. This has been a great night.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
My pleasure. And I'm Tom Wilmer, reporting from Door County, Wisconsin. We'll see you here.
Support for Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer is provided by Nashville's Big Backyard, a nonprofit economic initiative focused on rural destinations along the fabled Natchez National Parkway. With a focus on rural communities, such as Leaper's Fork, not far from Nashville, the Big Backyard journey traverses through Tennessee's southwest quarter, down into Alabama's legendary Shoals region, the mothership of American music. The featured rural community's common thread is historic architecture and a timeless, charming small-town atmosphere, some with a river running through it. The diverse attractions of the featured communities include the amazing Elephant Sanctuary in Hohenwald, where retired circus elephants come to retire in peace, and iconic destinations like Northern Alabama's Shoals region, where you'll find one of America's most iconic Frank Lloyd Wright homes and two of America's legendary recording studios that have been etching American soundtracks since the early 1960s. For example, Muscle Shoals Sound Studios in Sheffield, Alabama, opened in 1969, instantly started marking up the charts with number one hits by recording artists like the Rolling Stones, Willie Nelson, Wilson Pickett, Linda Ronstadt, Rod Stewart, and Paul Simon. Nashville's Big Backyard's ardent promoters include Mike Wolf, host of History Channel's American Pickers TV series, who provides a surgical contextual lens focused on Nashville's Big Backyard's diverse initiatives, and Liz McLaurin, president of the Land Trust for Tennessee, an equally passionate supporter of Nashville's Big Backyard's greater good elements through the Land Trust Preservation Initiatives. To learn more about the program, log on to nashvillesbigbackyard.org.
You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas Award-winning travel show Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a featured podcast on NPR.org's podcast directory. You are invited to subscribe to Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer on NPR.org, NPR One, iTunes, Stitcher.com, and more than 20 other podcast channels around the world. To learn more about Tom Wilmer's journeys around America and the world, log on to thomaswilmer.com.
My name is Roseanne Cash. I listen to WNYC in New York. In fact, NPR is all I listen to. And if I didn't have NPR, I would feel like my lifeline to the world has been cut. So, yes, please support your local NPR station.